Turn to chapter 8 of 2 Samuel. Again, it's really kind of a great story. There's I'll get into it in a minute. But the purpose of this, or the text, basically is the time when Israel asks for a king. And the debate is, was that a legitimate request or not? And we'll get into that in a little bit. And what does this event really teach us? Last week we looked at chapter 7, where Samuel called Israel back to God and Israel repented. They got rid of the Ashtaroths and Baals and they returned to God. So this was kind of an uptime for the nation of Israel, which is kind of interesting. Things were going well, okay? And then we hit chapter 8. And I think the point of chapter 8, this is that we need to listen to and to submit to God's reign as king. We just sang that one day all creation is going to sing to the King of Kings. That the point of this chapter is he's saying to Israel, listen to and submit to God's reign as king. And part B of that is, I wrote down, his plan A is a lot better than our plan B. I mean, that's what Israel was looking for. Can we try plan B? And I think the idea is that he is king in both of those. Somehow, God works it out in both plan A and plan B. And I love in the Lord of the Rings when, and I forget the characters in the Lord of the Rings, but I think it's Lucy goes to Aslan and says, you know, who was it? Narnia.
Now that's a real Lucy.
You're talking about Narnia?
Yes, Narnia.
They're
the same, kind of the same. They're kind of the same. Narnia. Okay. And Lucy goes to Aslan and, see, I was testing you to see if you were awake. What? And I got to get fast because I know the Cowboys start at 12. So I got it. So, anyway, when Lucy asked Aslan, what if, what's another name? What's the guy that went off? Huh? Bilbo. No. When one of her brothers, you know, what if he wouldn't have done that? What if he would have listened? And Aslan says, it's not for you to know what might have happened. I mean, I love that story. And that's kind of what in seminary they ask these questions all the time. What if Israel would have accepted the Messiah? What if, you know, we don't know. We don't know. All we know is what is. And that's kind of what this story is about. And so, and it really harks back, and I'm going to say this and repeat it a lot. It really harks back to these bookends of Hannah's song and David's song. Hannah says in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit the seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. And that's even in this story, when they ask for a king. So God is reigning as king. We ought to listen to him and submit to his reign. So anyway, let me read. And it's really broken down. It's verses 1 through 6 is one section, 7 through 9. And I'm going to read them and then we'll look at it. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 of chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. And it came about when Samuel was old and he had appointed his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel and the name of his second was Abijah. They were judging in Beersheba. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, behold, you have gotten old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations. But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. So the first part of this thing, you know, and it's really kind of a legitimate request. Samuel has gotten old. His sons, it's kind of interesting, for some reason, both Eli and Samuel didn't pass on their faith to their kids. I mean, that's kind of a scary thought when you have kids, isn't it? I mean, to see our kids just walking a little bit is really good. I mean, Israel looks at the situation and says, "Samuel, you're an old dude, and your sons are not good. You know, they're perverting justice. They're taking bribes. We can't follow them." So it's kind of a legitimate request in one way. You know, could you appoint a king? Because your sons aren't doing a job. I mean, we need somebody to lead the nation of Israel. So it's really kind of a legitimate request. There, and back in Deuteronomy, there's a... So it's not like, well, there's two parts in there. They wanted to be like the nations around them. But God did establish back in Deuteronomy that Israel would have a king. This is what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 17. "When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you possess it and live in it, and you say, 'I will set a king over me like all the nations who are around me.'" This is what's going to happen. You're going to want a king just like all the nations around you. "And you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses." There's a problem. Israel wanted to choose it. God says, "I'm going to choose the king. One from among your countrymen who you shall set as king over yourselves. You may not put a foreigner over yourselves who is not your countryman." Interesting verse. "Moreover, he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor shall he cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses, since the Lord has said to you, 'You shall never again return that way.' Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turns away, nor shall he greatly increase silver or gold for himself." The point is, when you get this king, the king ought not think of himself as the answer. And he shouldn't gather an army around him because he's going to start trusting the army and not God. He shouldn't gather a bunch of wives because the wives will pull his... And that's what happened to Solomon. The foreign wives pulled the king Solomon's heart away from the true God. And don't gather a bunch of money because you're going to start trusting the money and not trusting God. So those were kind of the principles that he told the king that you're supposed to do. So this was kind of a legitimate request. That they knew they could have a king, and they said, "You know, Samuel, your sons aren't living right, so we need a king." One of the problems was they wanted to be like the nations around them. Think of what they were saying. I mean, this would be like us. And I don't want to be super political. Let's be like Costa Rica, you know, or let's be like Canada. Let's be like, and I'll get into what I think the answer is in the end. I mean, God called Israel, they're his beloved, his chosen people. And they're saying, "Man, we kind of like it another way." Sounds stupid, doesn't it? Why would you want it another way? Then, when Samuel hears this, and it says, this was really displeasing in the sight of Samuel. This made Samuel sad. Well, no, probably on several reasons. One is for his sons. One is he's getting old, and he realizes he's got to pass this on to somebody. So he prays, verses 7 through 9. Then the Lord. So Samuel prayed to the Lord at the end of verse 6. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Well, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. So now listen to them. Now then, listen to their voice. However, you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure of the king who will reign over them. Samuel's like, God, what am I going to do? God says to Samuel, I mean, he must have felt rejected, obviously. Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. They're wanting another king besides me. And the whole idea of leadership in the church and all the weird things that go on when you think about leading the church, and you know, we joke about, oh, I like to be liked, leaders have to be, you know, this isn't about me. This church isn't about how big we are, it's about who we follow. This isn't my church. This isn't my pulpit. This is God's. He's the king. He's the king. So God says to Samuel, give them what they want. Give them what they want. So then in verses 10 through 18, Samuel goes to the nation of Israel and says, God said, you can have it. You are not going to like this. I'm starting to apply it in my own head, but we'll get to that. Let me read 10 through 18. So Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who had asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and of fifties, and some to do his plowing and to reap his harvest and to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. And he will also take your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed and a tenth of your vineyards and give them to the officers and to his servants. And he will also take your male servants and your female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and use them for his work. And he will take a tenth of your flocks, and yourselves will become his servants. Then you will cry out in that day because your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. Now, I'd like to be Samuel going to the elders and saying, okay, this is kind of like Whataburger. You can have it your way, but you are not going to like this. And if this, the world hasn't changed much, has it? The world hasn't changed much. They're going to take your kids. They're going to take your 10%. I wish it was only 10%. They're going to take it. Did I say something? What did I say? Yeah, a Whataburger. Well, Burger King has it your way. No, that was a...
Never mind.
Lucy told me that. I don't write this out every time, so I mean, just, okay. Again, you're all awake, right? Okay. The world hasn't changed. The world hasn't. People are people. The king is going to take everything he wants. And you would think after hearing that, they would go, never mind, right? I mean, the logical thing would be to say, okay, Samuel, we changed our mind. You know, we're going to listen. Listen to verse 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and to go out before us and fight our battles. Now, after Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the Lord's hearing. There, you know, it would have been nice at the end of this story if the nation of Israel would have said, okay. But they said, no, we want it our way. We're going to have it our way. We still want this king, even though we know what he's about to do. And these are two illegitimate reasons why they wanted a king. One was so that we'll be like all the nations around us. We can be just like... Okay, and I'm going to tell one other. Tell me if I'm wrong on this one. Remember when Michael Jordan was really big? I want to be like Mike. That's what it is. And that's all I can think about. You know, I want to be like Mike. I mean, how many of us could really be like Mike in that commercial? But that was what... I want to be like the Canaanites. Are you crazy? Listen to your king, God. Don't want kings like the kings of the world. They wanted to be like the other nations, not the nation that God called them to be. Think of the heart of God. I mean, and he said that earlier. They've done this since I pulled them out of Egypt. They keep going after other gods. They're rejecting me. And then they said, and we want to have a military leader. In chapter 7, if you remember that, they just fought, and God went before them and won the battle for them. And then they said, we want another leader. And these kind of stories happen all through the Old Testament, where God pares down the army down to 300 guys so that you know it's God. It's not your military. And I think, I'm glad we have a strong military, but I think we're in trouble if we start thinking that's the only thing that we trust in. I mean, I love those Navy SEALs, and you see what they do, and you're like, but... it's God who wins the battle in reality. And just verse 19 is kind of one of those sad verses in the Bible. Nonetheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They didn't listen. That's sad to me. They didn't listen. And what if they would have? Not for us to know. Because in the end, God is still king, even though they picked plan B. Verse 22, and then the Lord said to Samuel, well, listen to their voice and appoint them a king. So Samuel said to the men of Israel, go every man to his city, and then we're gonna see the choice of Saul. And as I thought through this, there's several applications, but I do think when you read some of the commentaries, there's like the perfect will of God, and there's the in theology, and then there's the permissive will of God, and then there. It's all God's will. You know, I think when we try to break it down into all these different categories, was he not in plan B? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I've got like three applications and three questions I ask myself. Since this was the nation of Israel, is a nation, do we listen? I just gave John, we had a tape by Ozgenes on Can Freedom Last Forever? And it's a great history of the United States and freedom. And the end of the tape is basically, we can go back. the nation could turn back to who God is. And God is our King. And he uses the Reformation and the Renaissance as examples of actually going back. They went forward. They got better. The Reformation made the world better. Or as a nation, are we really trusting our army more than we are trusting God? As a nation, are we, and again, I probably shouldn't be watching so much of the news. Are we trusting our wealth? Are we trusting the fact that, you know, do we have to have a great economy? Or do we have to have a great God? Do we trust my 401k? Or do I trust the God that gave me that? There's a big difference. And it would be, I would love in the debate, in one of these debates, if a candidate would get up and say, I want the nation to repent and listen to what God says about his son, Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be cool? We probably have to hold our breath a long time for that, but wouldn't that be cool? And then I thought of, you know, us as a just a local part of the church. You know, what do we listen? Do we listen? Do I want to be like, I've said this every time I drive by Lake Point and I see 4,000 cars out in front. You go, oh, well, that's a lot of people. You know, and I think, well, we could fit a lot more people. Not 4,000 in here, but. And I'm thinking, am I thinking Plan B? Or God's plan A? Did he say, where 4,000 of you are gathered, there I'll be also? No. Good answer. Do I want to be like, fill in the blank, as a church? Do we want to be like, do we want to be bigger, smaller, I think this chapter is telling us, listen and submit to our God, our King. And then, you know, I applied this kind of individually. And when I asked this question, I asked this question first of me. You know, as a person, do I listen? Do I really, and I think of the... we have a verse that was calligraphied that, what's her name? Was it? Sue Bolin. It's a paraphrase of one of the Psalms that says, shut up and know that I am God. You know, yeah. These are real people. Samuel's a real, discouraged guy. The nation of Israel were real people saying, we want a king. They were individuals pulling together, wanting to be, God, I want plan B. I want to live in this kind of a house and drive this kind of a car. And we want a different king. You know, we want somebody we can see and lead us in battle. We need somebody to go in front of us and, you know, charge, and I'll follow him. Do I want to be, you know, more successful or younger, more athletic? You know, I was in my whole athletic career, I was always the goat, never the hero. It's kind of discouraging after a while. But was God there in Plan B? And I, you do senior sermons. In my senior sermon, I said, you know, we come here and guys want to be like Howard Hendricks. And I made a comment. I said, this kind of went back on me. I said, you know, does everybody want to be bald? The guy grading my thing was bald. See, you know, there was, that was. You got to know your audience, I guess, would be the... do I want to be more like Chuck Swindoll? I think the point of this was to the nation, be who God called you to be. You're my chosen people. And he says to me and to you, be you, who God called you to be. Do I fight over, well, I thought I would be a full-time pastor. Be who God has you right now. Don't want plan B. Be you. You are different than anybody else God called in this room. God's our king. He called us. And I thought of this is, instead of wanting to be, you know, somebody else or something else or more important or more successful, Paul says in Romans, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a holy and living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So when it gets hard, when trouble hits, it's God who's king. His plan A is way better than my plan B. And I just need to sit, be quiet, and listen. And appreciate. If Israel would have just appreciated who they are, make my life a lot easier. I just chill and know God's at work. Let's pray together. Father, as we just come together as your church, Father, I pray that you would work in each one of our hearts, that we learn from stories and events like this, that it's easy to point to the nation of Israel and how they didn't listen. Father, help us as a church and as your people to just stop, listen, appreciate the plans you have for us that are good and acceptable and right, that we learn to trust you and enjoy our walk with you more every day. It's in your Son's name I pray. We're dismissed.